morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this first Sunday in Advent. We're so happy that you are here with us today. I have a few announcements to share with you before we begin. The first is to remind session that we are having our monthly session meeting on Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the library. I believe this meeting we said that we were going to bring cookies, so if you can, plan to bring cookies. I'm not making cookies, I'm going to buy cookies, so if that helps you motivate you, hopefully. The second announcement I have is that this coming Sunday, December 8th, immediately following worship, we are going to have our annual congregational meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to elect officers and to go over my terms of call. At my other church, the meeting lasted 15 minutes, so I am cautiously optimistic that the meeting here will last that long, too. So if you are a member, please plan on staying. The final announcement I have is that I noticed in the back we don't have anybody else signed up to be Advent candle lighters. We have somebody for this week, but we need somebody for the next three Sundays in Advent, and I believe Christmas Eve. So if you are willing to do a little reading and light the candles, please sign up in the back. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share?
Thanks for the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, I forgot, because I was not feeling well on Thanksgiving, but we are thankful that our Thanksgiving dinner went well. I believe we had 85 to 90 people here on Thursday, so thank you for everyone who helped, who served, who helped clean up. It went well. All right, friends, let us begin our worship service. Let us continue our worship service with our call to worship. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. God has anointed us to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Let us worship the God of justice and peace. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 82, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Confession. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom. For we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Join with me in our words of assurance. Our Lord Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us now greet one another in faith.
God sent hope to the earth, hope for a world free from war and belonging, and hope for peace and prosperity for our children and our children's children. When Christ came, he brought us the light of lights, light that fills us with hope, illuminates our lives, and shines in our hearts. And that you will cause us to become your children of light. Help us to spread your light into the world around us. Help us to recognize the opportunities to brighten the lives of others. Help us to live each day as beacons of love filled with joy, peace, and hope. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have some prayer concerns this morning. First, Kathy Segi's asking for prayers for Linda Schindler. Linda fell at Light Up Night in Aetna the other day and fractured her humerus. So please be in prayer for her healing and ease of pain. And Connie has also sent prayers and praise requests for her brother Dave. He's doing very well. He's back to his old self, eating ice cream, watching TV, and he is in a new place, Seneca Place in Verona. If you would call the church office and leave his address, we'll get that out to the membership so people can send cards if you want to do that. And also prayers for BJ Morrison as she's awaiting some tests and trying to deal with a potential recurrence of her breast cancer. So please keep her in prayer and be in prayer that the test results come back as negative. So we do that. And a praise request, I say this every once in a while, but I think it goes without saying that we are very blessed to have this wonderful church family that we can share the holidays with. And I would encourage everybody to invite someone into our home as we go through the holiday season, somebody that maybe doesn't have a place of worship or doesn't have a family, invite them to come and be part of ours.
Friends, at this time I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of preparation, "The Days Are Surely Coming," number 357. be seated. Let us pray. All glory to you, great God, for the gift of your Son, whom you sent to save us. With singing angels, let us praise your name and tell the earth his story, that all may believe, rejoice, and bow down, acknowledging your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, today we pray for Linda and for BJ. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we rejoice that David is doing better, but we pray that you would be with him as he transitions to his new home. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for everyone in our congregation who is traveling home from the Thanksgiving holiday today, especially with the weather today being what it is. We pray that you would grant them a safe and fast journey home. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we thank you for this church family. We thank you that you have given us a place where we can share both our concerns and our joys. Lord, we pray during this season of preparation that you would open our hearts and our minds to the mystery that is coming to us in your Son. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. God Most High, your Son embraced the weakness of flesh to give us power to become your children. Your eternal word chose a dwelling among us that we might live in your presence. We pray that you would grant us a spirit of wisdom to know how rich is the glory you have made our own and how great the hope to which we are called. In Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, at this time, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Morning. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of God is coming at an unexpected hour.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
The only good thing about being sick over the holiday is that I had plenty of time to catch up on all the TV shows that I had not seen in the last couple weeks. While I was sick, I binge-watched, or I watched all 10 episodes back-to-back of the new season of The Crown. The Crown follows the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. In this season, it follows the Queen from 1964 to 1977. On October 21st, 1966, Queen Elizabeth faced an unexpected but particularly horrifying day in British history, the Aberfan disaster. Shortly after 9 a.m., a landslide of liquefied coal waste descended down the mountain slope in the Welsh town of Aberfan. The waste engulfed the junior school. 116 children and 28 adults died in the disaster. Queen Elizabeth wasn't quite sure how she was supposed to respond to the tragedy. And initially, she put off visiting the town, even though her advisors and the Prime Minister urged her to go. When she finally did visit, 8 days later, it was one of the few occasions that she showed emotion in public. The Aberfan disaster taught the Queen an important lesson in showing up for survivors in the midst of tragedy. But it also taught her a lesson in acting in the midst of uncertainty. To date, she cites her response to the disaster as her biggest mistake as monarch. The Queen's feeling of uncertainty in the midst of tragedy. This feeling of needing to do something, but of not quite being sure what to do. I suspect that this is a familiar feeling to most of us. What I love about our gospel lesson for today is that it insists that uncertainty happens to everybody, even people with the strongest faith. This week marks our first time with the Gospel of Matthew in a while. And unlike Luke, Matthew is going to insist that uncertainty is actually a normal part of faith. Matthew teaches us that if Jesus can be hopeful while he waits for an ending he doesn't quite know when will happen, surely we can face our own uncertainties with hope too. Our passage for this morning begins with Matthew's assertion that no one but God knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man will return. Although it is likely that the Son of Man will return when we least expect it. Matthew uses the example of two laborers working in a field. One will be taken and the other will be left behind. The unfaithful one will be taken, while the faithful one will be left to carry out the work of waiting. One of my favorite theologians, Karl Barth, referred to this time of waiting for the Son of Man as living between the times. What living between the times means is we're living after the Son of Man came. So we know who Jesus is, and we know that Jesus came. But we don't know when Jesus is going to return. So we're living in this period of expectant waiting. Theologians have a fancy name for this living between the times. They call it eschatology, which is a Greek word meaning last and times. It is the study of the end of time, but more importantly, it's a study about what the end of time teaches us about the character of God. Not to get too far into the weeds here, but the point of eschatology is to remind us that we must be ready, for Jesus could return at any moment. Because we don't know when Jesus will return, we must, as Matthew insists, keep awake. Here is where living between the times gets tricky. Since we don't know when Jesus will return, it's easy for our uncertainty to turn into fear. Fear that we are going to miss Jesus when Jesus returns. After all, the first time that Jesus came in the form of a little baby born of an unwed mother. As though God purposefully had Jesus come in such a way that we would miss it if we weren't paying attention. But the readiness of which God, Jesus is calling us to is not one shaped by fear of the future, but rather one shaped by gratitude for the life in the kingdom that Christ already offers us. In other words, we are to keep awake by looking towards the future with gratitude and hope, not fear. Faced with the reality of 116 dead children, I imagine that Queen Elizabeth could have easily looked towards the future of her country with fear. There's this really beautiful scene in the episode where she's talking with Prime Minister Harold Wilson, and she asks him if something is wrong with her. Because, as you know, the Queen is kind of famous for not being able to express emotions in public. Wilson tells her, "We can't be everything to everyone and still be ourselves. Our job is to calm more crises than we create. That is our job, and you do it well indeed. No one wants hysteria from their head of state." I know that none of us in this room are members of the royal family, but all of us have to make decisions whether we are going to act out of fear or hope every day. Decisions where our loyalty to who we are as people will be tested against our loyalties to our positions. What I love about our scripture passage for today, and I love that it's happening on the first Sunday in Advent, is that it encourages us to embrace the uncertainty that comes with living in between the times. To accept that our loyalties will indeed be tested, but to have hope that we cannot make all of our decisions based in fear. Friends, this is a weird scripture passage. I'm sure a lot of you were expecting a scripture passage on a baby in a manger or the prophets foretelling Jesus. Instead, you get this weird passage about people being left behind. But what I love about this passage is I think it speaks to the heart of what it means to be a Christian. How do I live a life of gratitude when I'm not quite sure what I'm doing or how this story will end? I think that many of us, myself included, thought that our lives were somehow going to be easier when we became a Christian. I would confess that Jesus is Lord, and then all of a sudden, I would have a clear sense of how I was to act in any given situation. What I love about this passage is that it insists that faith knows that it doesn't know everything, but it does know that it is called to do something here and now. To respond in hope to the God who acts in Jesus, who acted in Jesus, who acts now, and who will continue to act till the end of time. Friends, on this first Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of hope. We are hopeful because our God is faithful. And we are hopeful because we believe that God will keep his promises to us. Promises to be with us. Promises to return again. Promises to take our beautifully broken world and restore it in the way God intended. Friends, during this first week in Advent, how might we look towards the future with hope? One thing that we might do is to embrace the uncertainty that is this season. We may never know the day or the hour when Jesus will return. We may not have enough time to make homemade cookies for the session meeting on Wednesday. We may never know how to act with 100% certainty, how to act in a given situation. All of this is okay. In the meantime, we can live into hope by acting kindly towards our neighbors, by showing up for our friends and family, by bearing one another's burden in love, by refusing to succumb to fear and proclaiming that our God is alive and moving. Living into hope this Advent helps us prepare our hearts and our minds for the day and the hour when the Son of Man will return in glory. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I'm going to invite you to remain seated as we prepare for our communion with our communion hymn, number 507, Come to the Table of Grace.
I'm for your patience until my voice comes back. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, and north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say, to the glory of your name,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine. That the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every time and place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is a sign of a new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God. Body of Christ. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and sing probably my favorite Christmas carol, O Come, Emmanuel, number 91. blessing before we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.